I know it's a little crazy on my part. Will County Swami saying, I think Brady's smoking the same stuff that Eastside Chris is smoking. Why are you guys picking on Eastside Chris? Noob says, I think Urban scores more this weekend than my fantasy team. Noob's a little on fire today. Where are we at, Noob? How many you need, Noob, to win? Where's my notes? There they are. Noob's got one. So you could win today. Dixon has two. Snooky has one. Ken Bone one. Will County Swami one. Noob with one. You guys know the rules. First 1 to 3 wins the prize. We got the signed Ed McCaffrey football ready to go for you. So excited about that. Thanks to Fresh Coat Painters of South Platte. Noob's on fire. Could get it. Eastside Chris. Denver's defense should be able to handle Pittsburgh's offense. Surely Locke couldn't give the game away, or could he? I don't know. From listening to Zach, he sounded pretty optimistic that Teddy's going to go. If he's at practice tomorrow, which if he's at practice tomorrow, we don't think he will be practicing, but if he's at practice, Zach said that's probably a really good sign. But concussion protocol is tricky. It's a tricky beast, man. It's not like, you know, an injury in your leg or something. You can't just do a quick test of, okay, are you good there? You got to give it the time that it deserves. Yeah, I kind of going back here. Let's go to Colorado State. People think I'm nuts. Text coming in. San Jose State. I mean, do I think that they can win? Do I think that they can have a winning record in Mountain West play? They have, what, 8 games in the Mountain West schedule, starting with San Jose State on Saturday. That would mean they'd have to go 5-3 for them to have a winning record. If you do the math, if there's 8 games, carry that 5-5. I can still see it on there. And that what has changed, because after the Vanderbilt game, I was desperately searching for wins. But Colfax, we can't just ignore. I know you can't ignore the first 2 games, but you can't ignore what you've seen recently. And the most recent showing of Colorado State has been a battle against Iowa. They lose by 10. They were up 14-7 at halftime. Yeah, I'm concerned about the offense, but can this defense carry them a little bit? And Todd Senteo, can he get better? That's a big question mark. You know, missing wide open guys, especially wide open Trey McBride's, is a bad deal. It's bad for your reputation, man. Can they get healthy? It's another one. Getting everybody back. I mean, is Dante Wright going to come back? What's that look like on the injury front? But I do think that I could see it. I could see it. It's sure, it's probably unlikely. San Jose State, way more winnable than it looked at the beginning of the season. At New Mexico, that's a winnable game. At Utah State, back and forth. I go back and forth on that. At first, I didn't think they were going to be very good. And then I've seen a couple of games. I've seen a few of their games. And so it does make you wonder, all right, how good is Utah State? You know, against BYU, they were up, ultimately losing 34-20. They got smoked by Boise State, 27-3. They did beat Air Force, though, which I think was a little bit of a shocker. They beat Washington State, Pac-12. So they play UNLV this weekend. Or no, they're off this weekend. They're off this weekend. They play UNLV on the 16th. So is Utah State winnable for CSU? Maybe. Boise State, I'm going to go with no. I mean, I haven't made my prediction yet for the San Jose State game. That one is a tough one for me because their quarterback, Starkle, I think is playing. I mean, on ESPN site, he's listed as cleared. And then last week, he was listed as questionable. So if he plays, that changes things. If he doesn't, well, maybe he got a shot. Can they beat Hawaii? At home, they could, but they're on the road against Hawaii. Wyoming? Maybe. Air Force? I don't know. Air Force is looking pretty good for the most part. Nevada. Nevada's a good football team. I called that one, by the way. I called it. Finally got one right. I mean, Air Force is going to a bowl game. They've already won 4 games. Started their season off 4-1. You got to think there's 2 more wins on their schedule, right? Maybe CSU. They do have UNLV to finish it out. So I'd be extremely shocked if Air Force doesn't go to a bowl game. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043, 888-530-0043. Hey, I only have a cigarette after rocking Colfax on Thursday. Yeah. You bring a lot of joy to people's life on Thursdays, Colfax. Noob, do you think Urban was secretly doing a commercial for one of those man pills? We see that like in the next ad. Is this you? And then some kind of ad. He's just covering it up. That's good. Noob's feeling it today. I'm shocked that people were defending the Urban Meyer move yesterday. I mean, look at it. The players think he's a joke. They're laughing at him. He shuts the door and they're laughing because he tried to explain it in a way that makes it sound worse. He needs to own it. Like, do you buy that there's just this random hot girl that's half his age dancing around? Yeah, she probably was. But you can't say that she's just, she was just dancing around. I just happened to be a dude she was grinding up on. We've all seen that video. He was like leaning into it. His hand is somewhere, Colfax. I don't know where it is. Is it blocking stuff? Is it doing stuff? I don't know. A lot of people think the way his hand was positioned, he was rather enjoying it. So don't try to tell me that just a random girl is dancing around. And, hey, random guy, what's going on? What's happening? No. Silliness. And now you're trying to explain it away as if, it's not that big a deal. It's a big deal. Football-wise, it's a big deal. You want to go personally, that's a different story. But I think that Colfax is a football coach or a head coach. Are they kind of in some roundabout way almost like a politician? I mean, they're leading your organization into the season every single year. They're leading you. They're the ones talking to the media every day. They're also the ones that have to lay down the hammer. If a player gets in trouble, does something, misses curfew, whatever. I don't know if they have like the curfew with the NFL, but it's like, hey, if you're not doing something right, if you're late for practice, if you do this, hell, man, you remember Mike Malone had to sit Jamal Murray out for like he didn't start. Remember that 2 years ago? He didn't start just because Murray was out too late practicing. But Malone said, hey, rules are rules. I love that you're practicing, man, but we set these up for two reasons. Obviously, that you're not out doing silly things, but also that you're, not getting hurt, not going too hard. So Malone had to do that. I mean, imagine if you see these coaches that you respect out and about doing silly things. You know, there was an old story about George Karl because he used to struggle with alcohol a lot. That he'd, at the end of the game, he'd just open them up, start drinking in the locker room as soon as everybody would leave. He wrote about that. Was he disrespected because of that? I honestly don't think so. Now, if he was out at a nightclub after the Nuggets just got smoked by 20 points, and then you see there's George Karl sitting there, some young girl half his age is grinding up on him, he seems to be just fine with the fact the Nuggets lost. It is a bad look. How many times, I'm trying to think of certain, there were certain players like last year or 2 years ago, whoever lost the Super Bowl, they're out like at a nightclub that night. You want your players to be bad. Did you ever see, we saw the movie Moneyball. We reviewed it in the summer of random reviews. Do you remember Billy Bean, Brad Pitt's line when he walked in on his team after they just got smoked before they went on that crazy record-setting run at the time? He's got Giambi and all the other players. They're dancing. They've got music going. They're blaring it up. They're having fun in there. And what does Brad Pitt do, Billy Bean? He takes a baseball bat. He smashes it against the wall. And he says, did you win or lose today? Because this sounds like winning. I don't have the quote exactly. But he said, and then they all sit down. And he says, sit down, everybody. Shut up. Nobody talks. And he goes, that's what losing sounds like. Quiet. That's what it is. We've been taught this our whole lives. So why are we excusing it away? Because your head coach, who's 0-4, who has no credibility, who had a damn starting quarterback competition between Gardner Minshew and Trevor Lawrence, who brought Tim Tebow in, which at the time I kind of get, but when you lump it all together, it doesn't make any sense. He's a bad coach. in the NFL. So yes, being 0-4, not flying home with your team, using the excuse of seeing your grandkids, which apparently he did, I think flies. That works, but the extracurricular after the fact does not. I mean, Colfax, if you told me today, hey, dude, I can't be at work tomorrow. I got a family thing. I got to take my mom to this thing, and, you know, she really needs me to help her out. Great. All right. Understood. But you got to be back. You're going to be back the next night? No, I can't. I'll be doing this thing. But then I see on video, Colfax is out at the clubs dancing. What am I going to think? Am I going to be happier or a little upset? Hey, Cole, I thought you didn't do this thing with us because you had to take care of your family. I mean, I get that, but then you also went out and did this other thing. Like, if I'm the team and I see that, I respect that you saw your grandkids and families, number one. I want coaches to preach that. But listen, there's no getting around this. Will County Swami says, looks like Urban Meyer and Robert Kraft is a match made in heaven. See, and Robert Kraft's thing is even a little bit different. Why? Because Robert Kraft is not in the locker room every day. He's not the one issuing punishments left and right. Yes, he's signing checks and such, but it's your head coach that's running the ship. The owners are not held to the same standard as your coaches, even. You remember when Matt Russell, a couple years ago, got his DUI? And I said, man, they should probably move on from him. Because how is he ever going to lay down the hammer and say, hey, you can't be doing that. You're suspended and we're moving on. You can't. It's a hard thing to do. It's difficult. I guess now Urban Meyer is odds-on favorite, according to that CBS Sports report, to be the first coach fired this year. Is this a fireable thing? It's not a good look. And sometimes bad looks are fireable. Again, according to the CBS report, it's a crisis point. That ownership and management basically have said he has to re-earn our trust. If the players are laughing at you, Shad Khan, the Jaguars owner, released a statement concerning his head coach. I have addressed this matter with Urban. Specifics of our conversation will be held in confidence. What I will say is his conduct last weekend was inexcusable. I appreciate Urban's remorse, which I believe is sincere. Now he must regain our trust and respect that will require a personal commitment from Urban to everyone who support, represents, or plays for our team. I am confident he will deliver. And in the grand scheme of things, if this was your neighbor, Ted, and there was a video on Facebook, and then you saw, oh, man, Ted was out at the bars last night. That girl was dancing up on him. Personally, we'd be, like, disappointed, right? But then we'd just move on with our lives. There's a difference, though. These guys are put in leadership positions, paid handsomely for that, where millions of people are watching you. Millions of people are wanting you to win games and be about your organization. You're not just the head coach that wins and loses games. You represent, in some cases, you represent an entire city. In some cases, you represent an entire state. What coaches do matters. So this 9-second video that some of you are just saying, hey, it's not that big of a deal, is. How is Urban Meyer going to dole out some kind of punishment now? That's the question, right? How can you do this now? You're 0-8, and you see your tight end, your wide receiver, they're out at a nightclub until 3 in the morning. They get in a fight. How are you supposed to say, hey, you can't play on Sunday because of that? You're going to lose the whole team. The whole team's going to be like, wait a second, you were out doing stuff. You were out doing stuff late. Why can't we? It's a tough thing. Hey, Urban was just thinking about what happens after an early bird dinner at Denny's. I don't know, noob. I don't know, man. You were rolling. You were rolling. Pillow fight Dan. I'm not going to read that. I'm going to read that. We stay away from that one, Colbs. Eastside Chris. Can't read that one either. I can't read that one either. Wow, there's just so many things I can't read here, Colfax. Am I missing something here? Because the world agrees with me. But you do, if you go to Twitter, you do have some that are like, all right, we're blowing this out of proportion. It wasn't that big of a deal. when you're paid, and well, and again, if you lump all this together, it looks worse, doesn't it? You lump it all together. Why was there a quarter? Look at this, Colfax. Trevor Lawrence, Gardner Minshew, quarterback competition. It was tight. It was 50-50. We had that. Trevor Lawrence won. What did they do with Gardner Minshew? They traded him. So he went from, he could be the starting quarterback for our franchise this year, to we traded him. You brought Tim Tebow in, which after watching him in the preseason, it was pretty bad. It was definitely a publicity stunt. You know, you didn't travel home with the team because you wanted to stay in Ohio with your grandparents, which again, that's a good response. I don't mind that. But then that comes out. You have a responsibility at that stage. As Urban Meyer said in his apology, I should have got up and left. As soon as the party began, I should have known it was a bad look, and I should have left. That's what he should have done. 21 minutes after the hour, we'll take a short break. More Broncos talk coming up next. Also, Mike Brohard from CSURams.com. Well, how are we doing on the injury front for Colorado State? So we'll get to all that and more. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy.
Northern Colorado's voice and your home for the Denver Broncos is 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Join Clark Johnson and Bruce Dick for Clark and the Coach. Weekdays at 11 on Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
What's up, Hooligans? This is Zach Stevens with DNVR Broncos, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back to the whole show. Got the from NBA TV. They put this out, and it was a GM survey, general manager survey. You got who will win the 2021-2022 MVP GM survey. Kevin Durant's getting 37% of the votes. Luka Doncic is getting 33% of the votes. Giannis is getting 13%. Embiid's getting 7%. James Harden's getting 7%, and Steph Curry's getting 3%. No Nikola Jokic. I'm guessing the Nuggets GM, Tim Connelly, voted, or Calvin Booth voted for Joker. This is embarrassing for the league. You know how I was just talking about CSU saying, you know, we can't ignore the first two games, but based on the most recent thing we've seen from CSU, the last time we saw the CSU Rams in action, they almost pulled off a crazy upset against Iowa. I know, almost. They lost by 10. So to me, sometimes I look at that and I go, all right, we're looking at what have you done lately. The most recent MVP is Nikola Jokic, and he's not in your top six? Trying to find Chris Dempsey's tweet, who we will be getting back on the show soon. He tweeted this on the GM survey. Nikola Jokic, the current MVP, was named best center, but not one of six players with voted for this season's MVP. Joel Embiid did receive one. So to review, Jokic is the best center, a position that Embiid plays, but is not an MVP contender. What? Chris goes, we're off to a flying start. I did see something really magical last night. Didn't get to watch the Nuggets preseason game. Wasn't on. They didn't carry it. I think they're going to carry Fridays. I saw something pretty magical last night, Colfax. Steph Curry goes up for a three because he sees a guy jump at him. So Steph leans in and throws it up. No foul call. They're not going to do it anymore. They're not going to do it. It's a glorious day, NBA fans. It's a beautiful day. Here's Steph Curry, a guy who's the best shooter in the league, sees a guy fake, he leans into him and then chucks it up. The team gets the rebound, we move on. Nobody calls anything. This is better for your game. Thank you, NBA. 30 minutes after the hour, we're going to take a short break. Let's talk a little Colorado State football next with Mike Brohard. First, let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
The Good Afternoon Guy with Brian Gary. Weekday afternoons at 3 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, this is Jesse Kurtz, executive producer and lead anchor of the Mountain West Network, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the hour. Welcome back to The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. Joining me now on our First Advantage hotline is Mike Brohard with CSURams.com and our Ram Wire Insider. Mike, my friend, good to catch up with you.
Good to catch up with you, too. Hey. Sorry I missed you last week. My phone never rang.
I don't know what's going on, man. I still think you were ducking us, but you know what? You're making up for it already. So.
Honestly, it was a bye week, so I just took the whole week off. I was in Bermuda.
I figured.
Working on my tan, as you can tell. Yeah.
Well, were you wearing your CSU Hawaiian shirt by chance? That might be a good opportunity to do that.
It's a good thing you brought that up. I actually wore that this weekend at I was with the swim team in Grand Junction as they swept seven duels at their first competition of the year. So, yeah, figured I had pulled that thing out for the first day of the meet. And I think it inspired the team, obviously.
I think it inspires people on a regular basis, man. I think that's the greatest shirt combo because that's kind of your style. And then you mix it in with the Rams. So I think we need to have more of those available. I don't know where I can get it, but I think they need to be out there.
I agree with you. I think you can get them at the bookstore.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm in. Sure. I can't pull off a Hawaiian shirt like you do, but I'm going to give it a shot, and you're going to be surprised. I'm going to show up, and it's going to be glorious. Mike, my friend, bye week. How are we feeling? I'm so confused. I know it doesn't take much for me to get confused, but the first four games were all over the map, and I've been saying this. It's like the last two games, our last two samples for Colorado State, really leads me to believe that, hey, this team might be turning some things around as we start Mountain West Conference play.
It is. So I don't know about you. I come out of the bye week really energized, rejuvenated, refreshed. But it's more of what they're going to do. So, yeah, I think when we talked to Steve, it's like he said, they had practice Monday, the day that we talked to him in his press conference. He said it just wasn't as good of a practice. But by no means was it a bad one. He thought last week was excellent, that they got the work done. And then today, they were all really excited about how they came out and practiced. They should feel rejuvenated because they are 1-3. Nobody's happy about that. But this next eight-week stretch, that's all Mountain West games. They can do whatever they want to do with these eight games and really turn around how their season is perceived. A lot of goals can be accomplished, and I think that's the way they're really taking their focus into this. It's a 0-0 start for them now for what really matters, and they can go out and get a lot accomplished. Now, they need to get healthy, and they need to stay healthy, and they need to find some additional offense, especially in the third quarter.
Mike, and the bye week did come at the perfect time for that side of it as far as health goes. How healthy can we talk about that yet, or what do we know at this stage, expecting some players that we've been missing to come back this weekend?
You know, I think Steve's still hopeful. It's still kind of day-to-day with a couple of these guys. And obviously the two key ones on offense are going to be David Bailey and Dante Wright. And Dante's been out for a while, and you've seen how it's kind of drained some of the explosiveness out of this offense. So, yeah, he would be an important one to get back. David would be another one because he was just coming off a 30-carry game. He gets injured on his first carry against Iowa. You wonder if he helps the run game more. Just his big bruising style, I think, would have helped out a lot in that game against Iowa. But, yeah, so he's going to be on the mend. Other guys are going to be on the mend. And they're just hoping. I mean, you just kind of wait week by week. But in the meantime, you need to start getting like a Jordan Kress, a Ty McCullough, EJ Scott, who had a really nice play, in the Iowa game. You've got to get those guys more involved, and they need to produce at a more consistent pace.
We're talking to Mike Brohard with CSURams.com. And Mike, how about on the other side of the field, I should say, San Jose State? They were without Starkle last week, but they were still able to get a nice win for them coming off of a rough game the week before. Any ideas there yet, or anything that you're hearing as far as who to expect under center for the Spartans?
I haven't seen if it's going to be Starkel or if it's going to be Nash again. Nash played pretty well for him last week. They didn't ask him to do a whole lot, but what they did ask him to do, he did well. He kept that offense going. It was against New Mexico State. I think San Jose State's a really interesting team. They've been up and down. They are 1-2 on the road, but they do have a conference win. So, you know, they're 1-0 in conference play and their thing. So they're looking as a defending champs to come out. It's been a really strange conference, if you ask me. Boise State's 2-3. They've lost a couple at home. You've got three teams in the Mountain, which is where Colorado State needs to put its immediate focus. You got three teams on top of standings. They're all 1-1. We haven't played a conference game yet. Wyoming hasn't played a conference game yet. There are a lot of things that are wide open, and I think a lot of things are playing out rather strange. So this is very much going to be a week-to-week league, and you need to bring it each and every week.
Well, in Wyoming, I mean, you look at Wyoming, they're 4-0, but then you kind of look at their opponents. You know, the Bears saw Montana State this weekend, and they're a good team. But then, you know, they barely get past UConn. So you're wondering, you know, what kind of team are the Cowboys?
Again, yeah, I mean, that's it. I don't think we have a firm grasp on what any team in the Mountain West actually is, which is a good sign for a Colorado State team that's 1-3. They can really impose what type of team they want to be. They can put their stamp on their identity, especially these first couple of weeks of Mountain West play. You've got some games that are winnable, and one of them is at home, and it starts this week. Then you go on the road. You know, Utah State's been an interesting team to me. I mean, the Air Force, and then, you know, they sustain a loss. It's a different league this year. And like I said, I think week by week, you have to be ready for whatever that matchup is. And you're going to have to match up against whatever other teams do well and what you can do well. And right now, what Colorado State does really well is stop the run.
Yeah, no question about it. I mean, we saw that so evident against Iowa, a team that loves to run the football, and they're very good at it. Mike, did you see all that coming? I mean, the stopping the run was one thing, of course. What Iowa, I think they only ran for like 50 yards. That was just phenomenal. But to keep it within 10, to be up at halftime, I mean, this was just such a shock. And I know there's moral victories, whatever, but I sure walked away feeling kind of like it was a moral victory, especially given how the first 2 weeks of the season went.
Yeah, you don't count moral. They don't keep coaches hired, and they also don't count in standings. But what it does do is it gives a team some confidence. I mean, you're up 14-7 at half, and it could have been 21-7 against the number 5 team in the country. You shut down the run for a half, and then you did it again in the second half. That's a good running offense. That's exactly the type of offense that the Adazio wants here. You want to be able to have a run game that wears down a team. Where Colorado State gave up its chunk plays was in the secondary again, and that's a young and growing secondary. But then again, Robert Floyd got beat deep on one play, comes back four plays later, gets the interception, and sets the Rams up for that go-ahead touchdown at the end of the first half. So there are some signs that they're seeing some growth and some development, and they need that because, I mean, you look at it, if you put Blackburn and Howell on the field, that's a true sophomore and a true freshman playing at safety. Taiwan Francis is back. He's healthy. That gives them some more experience back there in the deep part of the secondary. Ajay started for 4 years. You've got Cameron in there. But Floyd's been coming in playing for them. The more you can develop these guys and get them and make them a stronger unit overall, the better off you're going to be.
We're talking to Mike Brohard with CSURams.com and RamWire Insider. Conference play, like you said, starts this weekend. It should be crazy. You got homecoming weekend. It really is setting up for a great start to conference play for the Rams because, like you said, there's a lot of people maybe rejuvenated, just kind of optimistic after the last couple of games.
Yeah, there's hope. There's definitely hope. And I think some fans were definitely down after the first 2 weeks. Obviously, the win on the road at Toledo started to give some people some pause. But then I think the way they did perform against Iowa really has people in a really curious place right now. What team is going to show up this week and what kind of team can this actually be? I mean, right now they're only averaging 20 points a game. And in this day and age in college football, no matter how good your defense is, it's hard to win week to week just putting 20 on the board. They need to find a little bit more consistency in that regard. But if they can do that, there really are limitless possibilities for this team moving forward.
Mike, how's everybody, how's Coach feeling right now about Todd Senteo? I know at the beginning of the season, obviously talked very highly of him, and Senteo's had his had his great moments. Obviously, when he's running the football, he can be explosive. Missed a couple of open guys last week, Trey McBride being one of them. Overall, how do you assess him? How is the coaching staff looking at Todd at this point?
I think they're very happy with his leadership. I think they're happy with the way that he's improved and the down-to-down. They do love him as a runner, and they are working with him on trying to complete those deep balls. Those are momentum plays, and he's missed a couple this year, and he knows it. He's the first one that tells you that I've got to improve on those plays. I've got to hit those throws. The one to Trey in the Iowa game would have been just huge if they could have hit that one. So those are the ones that he has to hit. So he's completing passes at a fairly decent clip. He's dropped off a little bit, especially in the Toledo game. He wasn't overly sharp. But they need to get him back to the way he looked against South Dakota State, and they also know that they need him to hit a couple of those vertical passes. You're not going to hit all of them. Nobody ever does. But you need to hit enough of them that keeps a defense from putting 10 people in the box all the time.
Mike Brohard, hey, kind of crazy news last week with the conference stuff. I mean, I know you're paying attention to all of that, but it was very interesting, man. I mean, the AAC talks were really ramping up, and then we kind of hit that wall of, you know what, we're staying with the Mountain West, which I personally think for now it just seems like the right move.
Right now, I think if you look at the Mountain West and you compare it to the AAC, knowing who they're going to lose, the Mountain West is a better conference. Here's the other thing that everybody's got. You got to look at the big picture, too. Where's the rest of the moving and shaking going to come? Because I don't think conference realignment's done, not even at the Power 5 level. So if Colorado State, Air Force, Boise State, San Diego State are four of the key components that the Big 12 is looking at, maybe even the Pac-12 in some instances, if they ever decide to actually move forward, that's what's going to make it interesting. Where do you sit when that final table is going? So, yes, the Mountain West looks much stronger than the AAC right now. I firmly believe that, not just in football, but in basketball. And that's a good place to be, but you still have to wonder what's going to happen down the road. And obviously, if the Big 12 comes calling and they offer CSU an invitation, then it's great. But I know there are some teams and some conference commissioners they're starting to say, okay, what if we lose this piece or this piece? Where do we stand? Are we still the best group of five conference? And so I don't think all the moves are done. And I don't think they're just Power 5 moves. I think you've got some possibly moving pieces from one group of five to the other group of five, or the non-autonomous five, if you want to call it that way. There's still movement to take place. And I don't even know that the Mountain West, they're just not very public about what they do or what they're thinking, which I think drives some of the fan base nuts, but I don't think they're not talking about nothing at all. I know they are talking about things and what could look like if you add this piece or that piece, or if this piece leaves. There's going to be more changes coming, and I think we all know it.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, I'm hanging on for dear life because one report today might mean something completely new, different, you know, a week from now, a month from now, a year from now. Mike, always appreciate you, my friend. And, hey, I'm going to be out there. I'll see you in the press box on Saturday.
Sounds lovely. A nice 1:30 kickoff for homecoming. Hotel rooms in the area are full, so we're expecting a really good crowd. Students have been turning out. So I think it's going to be a great weekend. And then if you get a chance, show up early. Go watch Nico and his team. They're going to have a scrimmage at 10 o'clock at Moby. So that's a great way. You could have a full homecoming day. Start off with a little men's basketball, then go over and watch a football game. It could be a great Saturday.
Yeah, and that basketball team, I know we're going to get more details, but, man, that's going to be exciting. Mike, always appreciate it, man. We'll see you soon.
Hey, you take care, guys.
All right, man. That's Mike Brohard from CSURams.com and RamWire Insider, 148 The Time. We'll take a short break. We'll wrap up the show on the other side. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy, live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios.
Northern Colorado's voice and the leader in prep sports is 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Prep sports and the UNC Bears are on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Jenny Kavanagh from AT&T Sportsnet, your host for the Colorado Rockies. You're listening to the whole show on KSKA. Fire up the fountain.
Welcome back. Just reading some of those last second texts coming in. We got to crown a winner. And I did like this one. Weld County Swami sent this one in. Criteria to examine for struggling teams. And this was Urban Meyer talking about it years ago on Fox Sports. Trust issues, dysfunctional environment, selfishness. It's why college football drives me nuts. Because the coaches sometimes basically do the whole, do as I say, not as I do. Hey, don't leave your team and enter the transfer portal. That's selfish. Florida called? I'm out of here. $8 million a year. Hey, don't make money doing this. Don't do this whole nil thing. Oh, but you can pay for my house. The boosters paid for my house, and I'm getting $8 million a year. I'm going noob with this one today. Noob brought it. I think noob brought it collectively. Spawn of Dixon was pretty good. Nobody agreeing with Brady or the rest of the world because Facebook was down, so we didn't have social media. But we did have Twitter. We had Twitter, Colfax. In fact, I get more news from Twitter than I do Facebook. Facebook's like, hey, look at me and how successful I am. Twitter's, you know, snarky, but somewhere in the mix of the snark, you do get some, you do get some news. Players are breaking news on Twitter. All right, that's going to do it for us. We'll be back at it on a Wednesday. Oh boy, we got a great show lined up for you, man. I'm going to get into the Nuggets a little bit, and we're going to talk some Avalanche. So that'll do it for us. Good night, Northern Colorado.